From biohazards to pandemics to terrorism, this is CKNW, your station to turn to in an emergency.
Talking about emergency preparedness, disaster preparedness, today we're focused on the potential of terrorism, and Gordon Redmond is with me. He is expert in emergency administration and disaster planning. And I'm curious about your reaction to what I heard before the break. The caller before the break, Michael, I believe it was referring to a conversation we had yesterday when he was suggesting that people basically should be armed, that there is going to be, if somebody is really well prepared and they've stockpiled food and they've stockpiled water and other supplies, they're going to be somehow become targets. There was a fair bit of media around that kind of anarchy in the early days in Katrina. My guest Brian yesterday, who was there helping people in the emergency, said that in his view that was overplayed, it was sensational, but that what he saw was something quite different. You talked to a lot of people who were on the ground in that and other emergencies. How do people generally react?
People generally come out and act in a very cooperative, supportive manner. Whether it's floods or hurricanes. In Florida, when Hurricane Ivan made landfall, about 80% of all the resources that were actually brought to bear by the state were volunteers. So part of the idea, there's a lot of myths out there about how people react. And the only reason that, you know, collectively, looking at collective behavior of individuals and groups, the only way that they would actually come to violence would be in a riot sense with focused aggression to a certain event, be it people waiting for a concert, that they're waiting there for 7 hours and it's canceled. But on the ground, it's very, very, very unlikely that people would panic and resort to those kinds of things. And actually, in some instances, they found that the crime rate dropped in those areas where there was crime before. If something occurred, say in Vancouver as an example, I would only think that if crime was there before the event, then it's likely that it would be there during the event in the same proximity. But, you know, there's the odd individual with guns, you know, buried up in the Kootenays who was waiting for the big one. But apart from that, it's not common.
I was struck by the power outage in Ontario. Brian, you mentioned that. I was struck by 9/11. The people who it happened in London too, when there was a need. People overreact in traffic, but when suddenly they don't have a subway system or a bus system to rely on, they walked, and they did so quite willingly. They just walked out of town. In some cases, it took hours, but they accepted the fact that this was an emergency. It was an unusual event. There was nothing that could be done about it. They couldn't yell at someone. They had to rely on their own resources to get home, or to go sit and wait it out. But there wasn't the kind of mass panic you might imagine.
Bill, it's Brian. I think you're absolutely right. I think that was also true during the big snowstorms that we did have in Toronto a few years ago. There was a tremendous amount of people helping people, both in the city and in the countryside. I think Gordon's point, if I may, is absolutely right, that where there is crime and where there is problems, these kinds of events may tend to exacerbate them and make them even more extreme, and then they get picked up and perhaps overblown a bit by the media. Because while there are bad stories coming out of Katrina and out of New Orleans, no question, there are also thousands and thousands and thousands of very good stories of neighbors helping neighbors and strangers helping strangers. They tend not to make the news, however. I mean, the fact that the little old lady walked across the street 83 times safely is not news. The fact that she got run down on the 84th is. And we hear about those bad things. But the actual experience, at least in Toronto, which is, you know, one of Canada's largest city, if not its largest, of a couple of major events suggests that we're pretty reasonable, pretty cooperative people. And I know the same is true of New York City, that I had some friends there. I used to live outside of New York, and I know that when those events occurred, the vast majority, overwhelming numbers of people were helping each other.
But I also know
helping themselves.
I also know that when there's a plan and it's properly executed, it makes a huge difference. I was in Kelowna a couple of years ago with the Interface fires, and it was largely because of their really good planning, Gordon Redmond, that when they had to evacuate 30,000 people in a short period of time, they were able to do it. And that's because they were prepared.
Yeah, I agree. There's nothing better than having your jacket waiting on a hook at the door that when you have to get out, you're done. That's all part of the preparedness. We live
boots
in
boots under the bed, so
boots
you
under
don't
the bed.
Cut your feet.
Those kinds of things. In Florida, we had to evacuate 1.4 million people, and they had to evacuate during the 2004 storm season, those numbers and greater numbers in 6 or 8 hours. So because they had such a need, they spent thousands of dollars on doing analysis and studies with behavioral scientists and other civil engineers, working with the law enforcement agencies, that they were actually able to bring in evacuation teams. And I watched those guys in operation there, and it was truly remarkable. And when I look at the GVRD and I look at some of the response, the evacuation routes here with the little signs, I just wonder what, I know the intent is very good, but I just wonder in a real incident how those actually will be operated.
Back with calls after this. Rene, please stay on the line. 604-280-9898.